now beaming into Nerd FT Radio.
This is Nerd FT Radio, where nerds full-time explorers of the metaverse, surfers of the blockchain, and not in our mom's basement. I'm your host, RSG, a.k.a. the dog dad, and I'm here with CryptoCar, the a.k.a. the actual dad, the real dad. I've been saying, please don't call me dog dad, but I thought it was
dog daddy. There.
But yeah, by the way, Luffy's doing great. He's getting bigger. He's getting chompier. He's getting the zoomies as well. And he just got his first little, I got him a little subscription box. I'm not putting the name here unless you want to sponsor the podcast, but we got a little subscription going on with the little pup. So he's going to get some cool things today. But I'm back. Cryer was able to go ahead and do the podcast last week, or the last episode, with the wildcard team, with Finn, as well as the, was it the founder that was on as well?
Yeah, Paul Bettner. Paul? He is awesome. the founder for that one. He created Age Empires and Word Friends. Super good episode. I would definitely check it out if you missed it. A lot of fun stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, Cryer went solo.
They talked about
Cryer went solo.
Talking about Snap.
Yeah, that's what you told me. And I was obviously the one time that the other person, hey, I play Snap. Yeah, we didn't talk about, or I wasn't there. But let's go into it. It's been a little bit of time since we talked about some news since the last episode. It was with a guest. So let's jump into it. The number one thing that's going on probably in the last few days is that Reddit has dropped another NFT drop in the making. So what's going on here is we have a brand new drop, which this time, again, it's on Polygon, the same route, everything normal. You can use your credit card. You can use it. All the crazy stuff that we had in the first gen and the second gen. But this time with over 100 different artists for this drop. Some of those are at least the one artist that I look when I look at all these different creations. The one artist that sticks out to me was the creator of what's the little rainbow cat guy?
Nyan Cat.
Nyan Cat. So if I'm not mistaken, his name is Chris.
PR Guitar Man or whatever his name
is. Yeah, his name is Chris Torres. He's the creator of Nyan Cat meme, the one that you just see the little like Pop-Tart cat. He was able to go ahead and make some NFTs on that end. If I'm not mistaken, there was, let me check really quick. There was a supply of 1,000 of his, and those literally sold out instantaneously. And from all the comments
the
and everything
ones,
I've been.
Tyler Faust, you know, a lot of the big ones that had been big artists in the last and previous ones sold out pretty quick for sure. A lot of them were a lot of attention.
It was
everything's botted. What's not botted?
I can't think of anything that's not botted.
Yeah, he's got to think real quick. Yeah,
you had to think on that one. But we do have this. A lot of people are asking, hey, has it been holding up? I know that me and Cryer at first were like, Reddit's not going to do that good. And then it did good. And we're like, oh, crap, we were wrong. And now are we really wrong? Because it's not doing that well. But turns out it actually did pretty well because it's already done over, if I'm not mistaken, $600,000 in trade volume over the period of like 24 hours. In the bull run, that would be like, oh, yeah, you did pretty good. But right now, with nothing doing huge, nothing, that's pretty big and pretty impressive. So again, obviously, most of the bigger named artists, those are just selling left and right and middle the whole
cleared
nine.
Out.
But we are seeing the other ones as well. You are able to go ahead and buy them on OpenSea if you want also. So it's just super cool to see that Reddit's taking the helm and they're like, they're sticking to those guns. Hey, we're going to create this. We're going to make it. And we're going to figure out how we can implement it in everything. And the main thing that myself and I'm probably talking for both of us, Cryer. The great thing about how Reddit does this is the process doesn't feel like you're buying into an NFT. You're just literally buying something, which everyone's done on the internet. If you've been on the internet, and it's super easy to go ahead and do. And if you just take a little bit more, like two steps forward into the crypto NFT space, you'll understand how to get it to your own wallet and then onto OpenSea to go ahead and sell it for a profit or a loss or just because you want, I don't know,
a wash,
right?
But yeah, I definitely think they get a job. I mean, especially with stuff like Amazon coming out and what, we got like a little over a week for Amazon Marketplace to drop.
It's probably not going to happen.
Huh?
Let's make a bet right now. Do you think that it happens or Amazon pushes it?
It'll happen.
I'll go with push.
You think you're going to push? You're going
we'll
to push?
Come back.
All right.
And this is with no information that I have. I'm just going to randomly say it. Yeah. Just push.
Either way, it'll coming out soon. I guess more people getting into the space. Just how we always talk about. We saw, who else was it? Razor's coming out with the Venture Arm Capital firm coming out. They announced it today. So similar thing, like all these large companies coming into the space, Some of them are doing it. Some of them are doing wrong. Reddit has done it right. All the Nickelodeon shit, that was all wrong. We'll see how Amazon does it. Coinbase did a pretty terrible job. See if they can clean up their act on that one. But a little more information on the Razer launch. So they are funding a incubator for Web3 gaming. That's definitely been the largest push out of all of these things. Gaming is definitely the next kind of like wave or meta of people to invest in. Right? Everyone's investing in AI companies and Web3 or new gaming ventures, essentially. But Incubator is leveraging its network to spin up stuff. Animoca, Amazon Web Services, 1UP Ventures, Griffin Gaming, Play Ventures, and they're accelerating adoption of blockchain games. So those are the people they're partnering with, the usual big players in the space. I definitely think this is something that could be cool. And again, I feel like Razer has like a pretty like cult following on the gaming side. Like they definitely, you know, there's a lot of people who definitely interact with them. They've already had crypto rewards previously. They had used their mining rewards, I believe. You were able to pretty much have your idle GPU with their app, and then it would give you points for them. And that essentially
was mining
crypto on your PC. So that was something they interviewed. I think it was maybe 2 or 3 years ago they introduced that one. Obviously, you should definitely just mine for yourself if you're going to do that. But I just thought it was a cool concept because, again, people were earning points to then get like a free keyboard or get mouses and stuff, which if your computer's idle anyways,
why not?
Yeah, why not? So there's some cool features there. But again, I think these things coming in, expansion in the space, even on the side of just government edges, we're definitely getting a lot of pushback on crypto lately. I think that plays in a big part of a lot of people looking at crypto more. Ethereum and Bitcoin have been rising quite a bit. Bitcoin's back above 30K. The U.S. government's saying it's a national security threat. So,
you want to do a live read really quick, Cryer? This just in, bankrupt FTX has recovered $7.3 billion in assets and is considering relaunching the exchange in Q2.
For all the people, I
just did this live and it just happened. Please don't put your money into FTX. Keep going, Cryer. I'm so sorry.
Terrible idea. Yeah.
Pretty bad idea.
Yeah. So they were able to recover 75% of it essentially because they lost $10 billion. So do you still want to have $2.5 billion missing? No, thank you. Hold your own money. It's what we talk about always. But yeah. Ugh. Yeah, I've been on like the fucking gauntlet to get. We started a LLC for crypto funds, and literally it's been over a month problem. Now to get Ridiculous. This thing funded, and I still can't trade on it yet. They're still making me jump through hoops and give them my every fiber of data. I had to upload like 36 documents for the LLC to, and they haven't approved it yet. And I was like, "What on earth do you need all this for?" Blowing my fucking mind.
Listen, at the end of the day, how I look at it, it's that the government, the overall processes that we go through with the banks, with everything like that, unfortunately, they're playing pickup. And the only way they can play catch up is by stopping things from happening and putting it to the side and trying to figure it all out while others obviously take the consequences of that. If they want to go ahead and move forward and do this and do that, if they have the opportunity to stop them, they're going to do everything possible for that so that they can try to catch up and figure everything out with us. So that's just the unfortunate part. And of course, when bad news like the FTX news or any of the news that for the last year that's happened in the crypto and NFT space, obviously doesn't help out. And it makes those banks, the governments, all these people be like, maybe we shouldn't even look at it for a little while now. Hopefully things change, obviously, with everything happening with the actual banks that just destroyed everyone. People, like you said, are looking towards crypto. They're looking
for something. Like owning they just want
their own stuff. It makes sense, man. At the end of the day, banks made sense 100, 200, 300, 400, 500 years ago. I get it. You didn't want to have your gold, your coins, your cash under your mattress. I get it. But now with technology at where it's at and the everything that we're able to do on this little freaking computer in our hand that literally is more powerful than the freaking computer that sent us to the freaking moon, I feel like humans have an edge now. They are the opportunity for them to have more control over what they actually own is definitely where it's at right now. And get there. We'll definitely get there, and we're in the right, and that's why we're making this podcast to help out some people. But Cryer, I have to say something. I'm very disappointed in you.
What's up?
You didn't let me do my segment saying, guess who joined the NFT space, but it's fine.
I said, guess who joined the NFT space.
Come on, bro. I feel like I give him more oomph there. Yo! But yes, by the way, Razer, shout out to them because that's what my camera is from. This camera right here, that is a Razer camera.
Yeah,
shout
out Razer mouse and keyboard right here, baby.
Look at that. Razer, hit our lineup. Our
literally
people,
had, I've
people,
had this mouse for 11 please. Years, I think.
Hey,
still listen, functions like a beaut.
Still functions, killing it, doing his thing. I did want to mention, because you didn't say that gaming is the route that everyone's going. Yeah, and it's 100% what is happening. Obviously, the biggest NFT project in the world right now is Bored Ape, is Yuga, and they're full on like other gaming, side. Yeah. Let's get into other side. Let's figure out. They actually had a few patents out for a console and like all these things. So they're getting, they're understanding that gaming's the route that they're going to go ahead.
Metaverse role playing game. Let's meta see. RPG is what they patented or trademarked. So instead of MMO,
we'll see what happens. But the one thing before,
it's the Oasis, right?
Yeah, so Oasis pretty much, right? The you're seeing other projects do that as well. One of them that I would like to mention is obviously I am the Cool Cat Councilman, and I need to tell you what's going on really quick. It will be short so that we don't take some time up on here. But Cryer, you remember those fuzzy 3D looking rabbits at South by Southwest?
Yeah, fluff world, baby.
Is that Futureverse? Is that what it's called that
yep,
they have?
That's part of their, so that's their like overarching.
The overall art, exactly. So what has happened is Cool Cats and Futureverse have strategically partnered together to go ahead and use the resources over on the Futureverse side to help out the Cool Cat and getting Blue out there on the gaming side. So shout out to them for having that partnership. There is a video out where there's a 3D Cool Cat figure, like, going into this realm, and it's Futureverse pretty much, and it's super cool to look at. So there, again, you're just seeing all these projects go that route instead of them just saying, hey, we have a game coming in a few years. They're actually starting to showcase what's about to happen on the Yuga side, obviously other side, and on the Cool Cat side looks like they're going on the route of, they remember they did also partner with Animoca, which is other side as well. So a lot of these projects are like, hey, we're able to do this. Now let's outsource to get these gaming people to come in, because they try to do a game and it didn't work out. Cooltopia, it sucked. And all
and
these
again,
other projects.
The future is, of all this is a lot of collaboration. We've seen.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Metaverse, other side is 100% going that route. They're partnering with all these brands to do it. So everybody can get their hands on. They're partnering with Gucci and all this stuff. We have, I think Fluff World and Meta Futureverse are excellent animators. They're some of the best.
They've Yo, had. Is like, Cryer they're bullish on the cats?
I was more bullish on the Fluff World, but
come on,
I was
bro.
Just...
All right, whatever. Keep it going. All right,
that's the point I was making. Like, we saw them in South by Southwest. Those visuals were like some of the best visuals I've ever seen. Those were insane.
I still think those rabbits are creepy as hell, man. But
they are creepy. But like the. Just like the, I wasn't even referring to the rap. I was just talking about the visuals that they created for the actual event were like insane.
Oh, yeah, that was next level. That was really good.
They are the premier ones that are doing it. I love seeing other NFT companies partnering with them to showcase what they do best, right? Like Cool Cats is about the lore and story behind it or whatever. I think is a little bit more their realm and speed. And if they can have them partner them with something who builds incredible 3D animations and renders. That's a great idea.
It's a nice little match. But Cryer, all this talk about gaming, all this talk about AI, that's what everyone's talking about as well. You have a little story for me that you started reading a little bit into.
Love it.
And yeah. I think it's super insane. So I'm going to let you talk a little bit about this because
for sure.
I have a bad feeling because of what you're about to tell us. You're about to go on a rampage when this game, if a game like this comes out, you're just going to destroy everyone. So go ahead.
Yeah. There is a new paper called Generative Agents, Interactive Simulacra of Human Behavior, which is essentially saying that these people are able to create AI versions of people. The simulacra is like a same copy, essentially, right? So okay. They implant little ideas on these AI things, like, I want to better the world, that's their purpose. Or, I am here to plan parties. I'm here to be evil. I'm here
to serve coffee.
And a AI bot, robot. They're calling them agents, will continually make that happen for indefinitely.
In whatever capacity
that they can, that's their life goal. That's what they do. That's what essentially what this does. Okay. They have a little game set up. You can actually see it. We can put a link in the description. I think it's really cool. But they have a little game that was set up by Stanford, and they're pretty much trying to create believable interactions of human behavior for any type of interaction application or interactive application. So they made a sandbox environment. It literally looks like Animals Crossing, essentially. And they had people observe the interactions. And there was three different ones. There was one that was actual people controlling role-playing. Like each little of the 25 AI people, there was a control group that had real humans like role-playing as that person. They had the bot and they had a mix. And the bot or AI agents completely autonomously was voted the most human-like also. So not only were they replicating human interaction, they were doing it better than a group of 25 people trying to role play as these people. A more believable to a set of observers, which I also think is insane. So there's a lot of applications that come from this. So say you're making like an MMORPG or something like that. You have, instead of coming in making a new quest, you have to code all this quest out. This guy goes to this guy. You turn this in, do this. Now they can plant essentially like a seed in one of these AI agents, and they essentially go and do it. So this was the little thing they did. The party planning AI agent was told to create a Valentine's Day party, and she got everybody in the town together and made a party. Everyone showed up on the same time. They had decorations put up and everything, and it's just such a cool interaction to that these games can not only be a little bit more like permanent, I feel like, where that you create an actual town.
It's
literally like a simulation. Are we actually in a simulation here? Like,
yeah. No, listen, you're absolutely
that's
right.
Like actually, an insane, powerful tool. You create a town now. You go in there, and as a RPG player, think of something like Morrowind or Skyrim. You go in and you waste a whole town. That's what, steal everybody's gold. You could possibly be ruining storylines in the future, updates or something like that, because that character no longer is the person they implant the seed on. But it gives you that permanence of, do I be evil and possibly ruin the game, or do I have it saved? It's just such a... there's just so many capabilities of this, and it makes game creation a lot easier as well on the side of somebody coming
all
in. One person, not 25 interactions from each person. I code one person to say, hey, get everybody together and throw a party.
Obviously, the hard part there is like making sure they're doing it the right way. Let's say it's like Disney doing it and you let the AI just run its course. And then one of those courses, he does something like completely fucked up. And you're like, holy shit, it's a kid's game. So obviously, there's going to be a little bit more implication in just, oh, here you go, run wild. But there could be those games like, let's say, a GTA or something like that, where it can run wild and just do some crazy stuff. And like you said, I know you and I, we absolutely love Westworld. If you remember in that last season, Dolores was the person writing the stories of those characters. She was the godlike figure in writing it all. Now you're telling me that those people, it's real pretty much. And it's wild. And they're creating their whole entire thing. She only just does a little bit of it. And then the AI does the rest of it. And I want Westworld back.
Yeah. So what was the little kind of like next step in AI that why this was able to happen was they were able to create pretty much like memory storage for each character. So that was like the newest kind of upgrade or, I don't know, stepping stone in the AI that kind of allowed this kind of to formulate or happen. So now they have a memory stream of all the ideas or observations, either relevant or not relevant to the current situation, and they then formulate a new idea off of that back. So they reflect on it and make a new observation. They have planning. They're able to react to anybody's other questions or structured or answered. It's just such a really interesting idea. And I think this will have very far reaching implications, and not just in games. Like this will be AI chat customer service is now able to record every chat they've ever had with to help people, and then actually formulate probably halfway decent
solutions.
Responses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Using all that data. Listen, if you're telling me, Cryer, that one day I'm going to have my own Jarvis, it's coming. That's all I need. Just a Jarvis to hang out. But then you remember that movie with, oh my God, what was the movie? It was with Joaquin Noah. Joaquin Phoenix. I just said the center for the Chicago Bulls with Phoenix, where he fell in love with the robot. And yeah, it was like the robot just answered. Yeah, I think it was the movie. I think was her, but
yeah,
or it, I don't remember what it was. But whatever it is, he fell in love with the robot, and it was because like that robot was so responsive and on this sense like a mind of its own. And when you start forming an attachment to something like that, it could get a little scary. Hey, listen, I love technology, but. Maybe we should slow down a little bit. We should listen to Elon. Get a little bit Elon of some regulation. Golly.
Pump the brakes. Not allow it. Let it go its course. How many innovations in AI have happened in the last six months?
You mean 24 hours? A lot. Yeah, 110% in the last 6 months has been crazy. But let me talk a little bit about that Elon comment you just had, where like Elon saying, hey, pump the brakes. It's so funny. Seeing both ends of the response to that. The first response is, oh yeah, because everything's going too fast. We might get screwed. We need to regulate it, but the government's not doing shit. That's one side. But the other side's, oh, Elon's scared that it's going to take over his job and like he's going to be worthless and Tesla's going down. I'm like, that's not what he was trying to say, but I could be wrong. And maybe that is what he's trying to say. But the funny thing is, you know what? The world's like second or third strongest computer, like, on the planet who has it, it's fucking Tesla. So like they have the AI behind it. What do you think I do every single time I drive my car? It's shooting that data to their AI and it's building wild stuff. And that's how they're getting their sensors and automated driving and all this stuff. But that's for another story and probably another podcast. Cryer.
What's up, baby?
You did your homework. I did my homework.
That's right.
And we're both very happy.
It's a me, you Mario.
Bro, the movie was great. It was awesome. Good. No spoilers, but every single person in that movie, I think, did a great job. I will say I felt like it felt rushed. It felt like Ant-Man, if you remember Ant-Man 3. It just kept going. There's no like marinade a little bit.
Yeah.
I get it, but hey, it is what it is. I will say that. It like blew everyone's socks off. It literally made $400 million in the first weekend of its release. And that's probably like the biggest movie of all time for what's the company that did this movie? It starts with an
Illumination.
Illumination. That's super awesome to see that. Number one, number two, hopefully from all this success from the post-credit scenes, it does seem like we're going to go ahead and get a second one. But a lot of people are saying that this could open up the cinematic universe for Mario, Nintendo. Imagine a Kirby movie. Imagine a Star Fox movie. Imagine after multiple of those movies, you get a Super Smash. You can get a Super Smash like type movie where you're going against the hand. What is it? What's the master hand? Yeah. So like a lot of really cool things that could happen, but the movie itself was super awesome to see. Everyone was laughing. Kids were happy about it. Adults were happy about it.
It was so.
Your son loved it. It was just phenomenal. I had a great time in the movie. What was your favorite character in the whole movie?
I think Bowser was my favorite character, to be honest. I think
Jack Black crushed it.
He was so funny.
A lot of people are saying that it might actually win an Oscar, an Emmy, whatever it's called. What is it? Is it an Oscar? Yeah, it would be an Oscar for best music, original music. But
music. I really do think the music was actually like super good as a whole. It was extremely nostalgic. It felt real. I don't know. The cinematography was super great too. Like they always went to the side scrolling mechanisms of the actual gameplay of the old Super Mario. I love that. Yeah, just overall, I was super impressed. I thought they nailed. I love the carts. The carts were super fun. How you spin the wheel.
That was my favorite.
And the rainbow road was super cool.
That was my favorite freaking
blue shell. That was awesome.
Phenomenal. everything about the Mario Kart aspect of that was absolutely phenomenal. The one thing I will say, there was a character missing in the whole movie, and I was very upset not seeing him. It's a close person to Bowser. That's all I'll say. I won't ruin it, but it was a close person.
That is Clown Car.
Yeah, and there, you know what I'm talking about. So I was upset I wasn't able to see that in the visual. But other than that, I really enjoyed Luigi a lot and the whole sense of going into the scary aspect of it. Obviously, Luigi's Mansion. It was just a great movie. Another person that was missing was another princess that a lot of people were like, hey, where the heck is that one? So it was just a great overall movie. And the one thing that stole it for me was the star in the prison. That was hysterical. Yeah, that little character. Yeah, Luba was just like so funny. To listen, just talk about death and talk about like failure and everything. You're like, holy shit, what's going on here?
Voice, so you're good.
It was a cute voice, so it was good. But the other thing I will mention was it was super cool how like Seth Rogen, they asked him to be Donkey Kong and he straight up said, I'll be Donkey Kong, but I'm not doing voices. I never do voices. So if you want Donkey Kong, it's going to be Seth Rogen. And they're like, sold. And it worked pretty good. It worked really well. So I'm super happy that happened and it worked on that end. But yeah, other than that, I 100% recommend.
I love the comment about like your dad is disappointed and he should be.
That whole just like
that was so good. It was
great. It was great. They did a great job. The whole sense of just Donkey Kong just hating Mario and the way they did it was just so funny. And Mario just like getting an understanding of what he's supposed to be doing. It was like the come up of Mario. It wasn't just like Mario was already a badass. It was like we were seeing him understand everything. Super awesome. And how they intertwined both worlds and everything like that. Again, super awesome movie. I 100% recommend to go see it. Actually, this is the first time I saw a movie not in IMAX in a very long time. So I was able to go see that. Super weird movie theater. Have you ever been to a movie theater that you enter? Like the screen is here and you enter this way, then you sit down and then like you look. It was just weird. It was a weird. I went to the Disney and at Disney Springs, the movie theater there, it was freaking packed, but that's the movie theater I went to. But the other thing I did want to mention is we got a new trailer, Cryer. I don't know if you've seen it, but
I got one more comment. I love.
Oh, go ahead.
We went, Hayes was dressed up as Mario and literally everyone was freaking out. And shout out to the lady who gave us her popcorn bucket. She was like, yo, you can save yourself a couple bucks. Here's my reusable popcorn bucket. And Hayes literally lost his mind.
There you go.
So shout out to that lady.
Shout out to her. It's so funny. I saw a video somewhere where the whole family was dressed up as like Bowser.
Peach, I wore my Luigi hat. Jessica wore a pink shirt.
They're like, they walk up to the person that's going to tell them, oh, this is the movie theater you're going to. And the person goes, which movie are you going to see? I'm like,
yeah.
The Mario movie.
What's a negative shout out to Jess at the counter who was like, what are you guys seeing? Sonic? I'm like, nailed it, bro. Hilarious. Nailed it.
Good joke. But the other movie, the trailer that's come out recently, I think on Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken, was the brand new Captain Marvel 2 movie that's coming out at the end of the year, which is The Marvels, where we're going to see Miss Marvel, Monica Rambeau, and Captain Marvel go ahead and go against a villain that we actually don't know much about. It looks like it's the half-sister or sister of Ronan. If you remember Ronan for the first Guardians of the Galaxy, and he was also in Captain Marvel, the first one, like flashback scenes, but it looks like we're getting her as the villain. Nick Fury's involved. We're getting Kamala Khan, the whole family. We're getting Monica Rambeau. We're getting Captain Marvel. And a lot of this trailer, what I love about was that it ties in a little bit with the Guardians of the Galaxy. So we might maybe in the upcoming Guardians of the Galaxy 3 movie see some like snippets of or connections in between one another. But the movie looks great. One thing I did want to mention when you do see the trailer. Have you seen the trailer, Cryer, or not yet?
No, I haven't seen it now. No.
When you do see it, we had a teaser a month, 2 months back, and a lot of people were complaining that Brie Larson, which is Captain Marvel, wasn't smiling enough. So Marvel used the song Don't Tell Me to Smile in the trailer and everyone lost it. They're like, hell yeah, let's get it. So I'm super excited. I will say that
literally
the first
everyone
one...
can complain about anything.
Like, oh, everyone complains about everything. But the first Captain Marvel for me, it's on the lower end of the Marvel movies. It's not bad. It's not good though. It's not good, but it's not bad. There's some good spots in there that I absolutely love. That's what I feel like it's close to Captain America 1 for me, where the first half of Captain America 1 was just really good. And at the end, you're like, what's going on for me, for Captain Marvel, the way she got her powers. And then we started seeing the Creed at the end, or like the little snippets of the Creed and with Phil Coulson and Nick Fury was super awesome. But the rest was just like, I don't know what's going on here. Hopefully on this end, I think Ms. Marvel, Kamala Khan, the actress, I forgot her name. I'm pissed I forgot her name, but she's so good at Ms. Marvel. She's literally Ms. Marvel. It's like when you think of Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man, Captain Steve, Chris Evans, Steve Rogers. Kamala Khan, I don't know her name, but she is literally a walking Ms. Marvel. So I'm super excited to see this movie. And other than that, Cryer, I have to say it. We have to start doing a countdown. We are very close to Breath of the Wild 2. We're very close to Zelda. Yeah, baby. And I don't think I'm going to see the sun for at least a month and a half when that game comes out.
That's going to be Diablo 4 for me.
I cannot wait. I cannot wait. It's in May. I have to pre-order it. So that's, I'm going to do that right after this episode. And I'm just super excited. A lot of really great games are coming out. For me, baseball's starting. All these Marvel and DC movies are about to start popping off in the summertime. So a lot of really awesome things. And on, of course, on the NFT side, it's gaming. So that means this podcast is about to go like bonkers. Because at the moment, all these projects are going into gaming. Yeah. All these companies are going into gaming, which means we're going to get a lot of
news.
We're going to have some news. We're going to have a lot of news. We're going to have a lot of guests. We're going to have a lot of opportunity to showcase these games and figure out what's that one game that Cryer and Red Sox guy are going to truly fall in love with and not go outside for months, years, decades. We'll catch you guys next week with another episode of Nerd FT Radio. Just grab a brick and throw it right now. That's all I got.
Throw it through a window.
Throw it through a window. Peace.
Later.